Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. So no big surprise, I talk a lot. And now I can share some of the incredible people that cross my path and the interesting conversations that we have. Private Practice Secrets podcast is all about sharing our business experiences and harnessing our collective wisdom. My guests are amazing. They're bold, brave, and they're honest. There are many laughs, and surprisingly, there's frequent talk of wine. We're sure you're really going to enjoy these unplugged private practice chats. So settle in. Let's get the conversation started. Good morning, Chris. Chris McCarroll is, are you the founding CEO? You'll have to explain all of that to me, of Allied Health Marketing. So, Chris, you might do a better job of introducing yourself than me.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. I am the founder of Allied Health Marketing. We look after allied health professionals in a marketing capacity. We get asked all the time, are we business coaches or can I help grow your business? And we're not business coaches. We leave that to the professionals. We essentially click in between the business coach and the business owner, and we help to deliver a whole range of different services to obviously grow the business and to also execute marketing strategies.
Yeah, I was taking a look at your website this morning. The new one looks good. I enjoyed and went down a few rabbit holes. I was lucky to make this 9 o'clock start at all. It's good and helpful. But your marketing, although you're in the allied health space now, you've got a much broader marketing background from Recall.
Yeah, so I started in fashion marketing of all places. That's kind of where I got my first taste of marketing.
So relevant to allied health.
I know.
So relevant. Fashion plates that we are.
But on a sales level, I think that's where a lot of skills were developed. I started there relatively young and was thrown into a very high-paced, fast-moving role. And I think I was 21 when I started that role, fresh out of uni, straight in, and was given a national brand to look after. So I had to travel, sell women's clothing to women. So that was a challenge.
At the age of 21.
Yep. So you learn a lot of skills on the fly, and I was lucky enough to have some really good mentors along the way and in the business owner who actually kind of took me under his wing and showed me the ropes and taught me everything about business development and sales and marketing and what you need to do to actually connect with people. That was one of the biggest skills that I learned in that role because, you know, I was a 21-year-old guy going in selling women's fashion to women who've been in the fashion business for 30-plus years. You know, who's this guy coming in? So I had to connect with them and be able to tell them about the range and, you know, what they should buy and what's in this season. You know, so it was quite challenging. So that gave me a really good grounding in the marketing world. From there, I actually went into not-for-profit, which was a complete change of pace for me. I hit a point about 5 years in where I was completely burnt out. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I just knew that I couldn't operate at that level for much longer. So an opportunity came up in the world of surf lifesaving, and that's where my love for sports and marketing kind of combined for me. So I was able to get out on the beach and run championships and sponsor events and all of that type of thing, which again, I did for about 4 years. In between that time, I had the opportunity to start freelancing some marketing consulting. That's kind of where I really found where I wanted to go. That's where I decided that, okay, this is actually what I want to do with my life and kind of really put a plan into place of how I can execute that. So I started freelancing like most people do when they still have a full-time job. That soon became big enough where I was able to walk away from full-time work. I had a client who is the national body for exercise physiologists, and they said, look, there's really no one operating in the space that can help our members. Would you be able to put together a bit of a package for us to give to our members at our next conference? And at that point, I started thinking about, okay, well, who's out there? Because I hadn't really thought about any competition, you know, like that's not really my mindset. I don't think about who's currently doing what I want to do. And I just kind of start with what I want to do and just kind of, you know, focus on my own thing. And we put together some packages, and I quickly found that the boutique high-level content strategies that I was delivering for my current clients weren't really going to sit, and it wasn't really a need for exercise physiologists or allied health professionals. So that's actually the day that Allied Health Marketing was started. We I kind of put together a range of different packages and spoke to a lot of allied health professionals and what they actually wanted from someone who could deliver marketing for them. Because I could go out there and say, you know, here's, I could do all of this stuff for you, and it might not actually be what they want. So we purchased a booth at this this business forum, got our first few clients, and here we are today.
Wonderful, wonderful. What did you hear from allied health professionals about what they want?
They want time.
Yeah.
there's not enough time. I think, you know, as a small business owner and some, you know, medium-sized business owners, they're pulled in so many directions every day, and a lot of them are actually still practicing. So they've got their contact days where they're practicing and working with their clients because their clients love them and don't want them to, you know, they don't want to be palmed off to someone who is equally as good, but they have that personal connection with the owner. So they still feel like they need to have that contact with their clients. And I think they just, there's so much to do. There's so much that needs to be done. And it's really quite overwhelming. There was a general sense of, I just feel overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that I need to do. A lot of them have amazing business coaches in place, and that kind of helps them grow and move and be able to scale. But where we kind of found that the space was in the actual execution of that. So someone to do all of your social media, to write your blog posts, to develop a new website, to freshen up your branding, those types of things that for someone who isn't experienced in that area, it can be quite time-consuming. Yes, there's the tools out there today to do it by yourself and probably $5, but it's the time that it takes for that result to come through. It's just not fast enough.
We are speaking on behalf of all allied health professionals in the world, just momentarily.
Yeah.
We go into our courses because we want to work with people. And, you know, never in a million years did many of us think that, you know, in 5 or 10 years' time that we would be having to do all of this.
That's right.
You know, we all thought we'd have a job somewhere and it would be good and we'd love it and blah, blah, blah. But the landscape has changed quicker than our mindset, I think.
I mean, at the end of the day, your academics and you're qualified and you're passionate about delivering your service. You don't want to focus on what your branding looks like or what your tone of voice is in your content strategy.
What font on your brochures.
That's right. You know, that's not what you should be focusing on. And you're not going to enjoy that either.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you say when you hear from clients, potential clients, oh, I'm not very comfortable marketing myself?
Firstly, I empathize because I was in that position. I totally understand where they're coming from. Because marketing yourself is quite a big deal for someone who is slightly introverted, who may not, you know, have the confidence to publicly put themselves out there. That's one of the things that I probably struggled with in the beginning is, you know, how will people perceive me? You know, I get that not everybody's going to like you. I get that. But again, it's still quite daunting. You know, if you're putting your pictures everywhere and there's video of you, you're kind of opening yourself up to a few
what
things.
What will people think?
That's right. You know, oh, look, my eye looks funny in that. I'll need to redo that video, or my mouth moves slightly sideways when I speak. You know, it's you're very judgmental on yourself. So you need to have a very clear idea of what messages you want to put out there and be in control of that as much as possible. Because at the end of the day, you need to make connections with potential clients. And the very best way to do that is for them to be able to see who you are and to hear you speak and to see a picture of you and to kind of read a little bit about what you do and what you've done. That's 100% the best way to make a connection with somebody digitally.
Yeah. I come across those conversations quite often, and something that I found really interesting to discuss is that you're not so much messaging yourself and your awesomeness, but you're actually needing to learn to message the outcomes of working with you or the outcomes for the child. And with that slight shift, it's not about you and what you do, it's about why you do it, and it's about what children and families and clients leave with having experienced working with you. And that mental shift is, I think, a significant one in marketing, and it's one that's takes a little while to understand and to kind of, I'll use the word play with, but to sort of explore and shift the words and shift from the concept of, yeah, we do therapy, but you're actually not selling therapy. You're actually selling the outcomes for the client. Am I on the right? Absolutely. I think I'm on the right track.
You absolutely are. It's very much about not what service you sell, but what the outcome is. I mean, you hit it perfectly there. It's all about what the results are, how you're going to feel, what your life might be like once you have gone through the process, those types of scenarios. It's kind of selling them the solution rather than the problem.
Yeah. And not selling yourself, more selling what your business can do, move the client forward towards that ultimate life that they want.
Yeah. And you'll have people who will read and research for hours about you, read every one of your blog posts, read all about your profile, and then make the decision. And then you'll have the people who will read, these girls look good, contact. So
I haven't read all your blogs, Chris, just heads up.
Okay, well, we know that oh, please, there's too much. Yeah, you should be reading one a day. I think what is really good is you need to be able to satisfy both of those people. So the people who like to read and digest information and the people who like to receive it within 8 seconds. So it's very important to have all of the content on your website, but it's also very important to be able to hit your messages very quickly.
I've read and heard people speak about the need for 11 hours of content and potentially 7 sort of touch points for people to really start to get to know you and start to get to trust you and start to really get to kind of like and want to engage with you on a professional kind of level. And that there might be, and that might be blogs, that might be website content, it might be magazines, it could be podcast stuff that they listen to. And actually hearing your voice and seeing your face is really, really important for humans anyway to build a relationship. So whether you're hunting up an IT specialist that we were just talking about before the podcast, or hunting up a marketing coach, or hunting up a business coach, there's lots of other ways of marketing yourself than flyers and your website. There's lots of other ways. And I think allied health professionals are getting a bit daring and starting to get even more creative with how they message themselves and their businesses. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, I think everyone's willing to try new things. Like, there's so many options for them out there, especially in a digital space. They have, a lot of them are quite savvy in social media marketing and Google AdWords and things like that. They're kind of really understanding the benefits of that. But I think where some of them kind of come a little bit unstuck is the messaging that they're putting out there. So they may be selling a service like, we do massage. Okay, yes, you do massage as part of your offering, but you're also selling, pain-free, being able to go to the gym and be pain-free, things like that. So it's just twisting the messages a little bit and thinking about who you're actually talking to and what they want from you. That's kind of a really good base start.
And that brings us right bang, smacking it on the head, to knowing who your ideal client and who your target market is.
Yeah.
Virtually all of the allied health professionals I work with haven't done any marketing training at all. And whilst there's more and more stuff becoming available, there's this sort of poverty of time, and they don't always think that their businesses are worth investing in a marketing program or marketing support. And so being able to understand exactly who your ideal client is, I've seen many businesses now really shift in an exciting way, but also shift in a reducing stress way, that they know who they really want to work with and how to message and how to get those little dudes in the door.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the people that we are currently working with and what we do in the beginning is we kind of look at their product, we look at their ideal customer, we look at the need, and then we develop their ideal target market. So we kind of look at what services and products they do, who is their ideal customer, and what is their need, and then that equals our persona.
And even to the extent of giving that persona a name and an age and a job and actually thinking, I have a persona. I'm not going to kind of share that, but I've got someone in mind. She's got a name. She's in an age range. She's this, she's that, and the other. And often
she drives
when
this
I'm
type of car, yeah, she goes on holidays here, she has two children, all of that type of thing. Yeah.
And when I, to the extent that when I write sometimes, I've actually got a photo from a magazine. I'm looking for it on my desk, but that would not be available right now for an audio situation. So useful. But I'll actually stick her on the top of my screen so that I write as though I'm talking to her about whatever topic I'm writing about. It's really interesting. It actually makes it much more personal, but it's a bit crazy, I guess.
It does. I mean, yeah, you do kind of feel a bit different when you're doing it. But if you have, let's say, Sally, so if you go through the whole process and you know what Sally's pain points are, you know what she's struggling with, you know what she loves to do, you know what her ideal life scenario would be, it's so easy then to develop content and messages to talk directly to Sally.
And that shifts the mindset about selling yourself. Because you're actually writing and sharing up your IP, as we call it, your knowledge, your intellectual property, to kind of help Sally solve some stuff and shift some stuff and get some wins on some runs on the board. And you may never meet Sally, but I find it incredibly satisfying knowing that Sally might have read something I wrote or something I said, and that could have made a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And because of the messages that you have developed from that, she'll actually be interested in engaging with that. So if I just wrote, I'm Chris and I love marketing, like, no one is going to interact with that at all. So it's no different to saying, hi, I'm Kathy and I'm a massage therapist. Who cares? Because there's 300 of them in my local area. That's not engaging with me. So how do you put yourself above everybody else and
build memories?
Absolutely. Yep. Be that expert.
Oh, good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. So what I'm just going to shift a little bit. I'm curious, who is in your office? Because there's a batch of you. And so if I open the door and walk in, who's in there and what do they do?
Yep, so you will see Amanda. So Amanda is pretty much my right hand and just someone who I have come to rely on a lot.
Your frontal lobe.
Yes. So Amanda entered my life probably about a year ago. And at that point, we had grown from just myself and some freelancers to a point where I needed somebody to come in and take some of the work from me, because communication at a client level was very important to me and I wanted to make sure that we maintained that. So Amanda came in. She actually interned with us first through a program from a Queensland university. Once I found that she was amazing at being organized and had the ability to communicate with clients properly and things like that, it was a no-brainer for me to move her from an internship across into our team. So now Amanda deals with all of our clients. She's pretty much our main point of contact and just busy doing my stuff. So I consult a lot still on the projects that we work on, because that's where my passion lies. So I'll never actually be hands off. I love kind of getting in and developing the strategies, and that's kind of where I want to sit. So Amanda just has taken so much stress away from the running of the business. So I'm able to focus on helping our clients improve. And you will also find Megan. So Megan's our graphic designer. She, again, is our little champion who just gets thrown so much random stuff every day. And it just seems to stick, and she just keeps delivering. So again, that's someone who, when you find the team that works, I think it's very important to kind of keep them engaged and take care of them, because at the end of the day, if they're happy and they're working, their outcomes are going to be so much better. And so the three of us are in the office, and then we have Catherine, who looks after all of our admin and accounts and kind of the budgets and that type of stuff. So, you know, the stuff that I'm really not interested in, I don't really know.
Yeah, the necessary evil of money.
Yeah. And then from there, we have a small team who we outsource our web design work to. So they're a group of Brisbane guys. I like to kind of keep everything
onshore and local.
Onshore as possible, yeah. I just think the quality of work and the control over the environment is worth it. So yes, you know, it might not be the $400 website, but it's something that you know you can rely on, and it's not going to crash and it's not going to be broken and things like that. So that's pretty important for me, is to kind of keep it here in Australia.
Yeah. I agree. I try and keep as much onshore as possible.
Yeah, I mean, there's some exceptions to that, but that's just, you know, part of the game.
When people phone you. So what is the process that they go through in kind of getting started with you and getting all of their marketing, website, online presence sort of solved and made fabulous? What's that customer experience been?
Yeah, so our customer experience is, again, just kind of going back a step. They may have been watching us for the last year and a half. So they could have been reading our articles, trying a little bit of things themselves is generally what happens. So we kind of, we try and put out as much content as possible to educate our audience and give them tips on what they can be doing from home or the office. So a lot of them tend to then come to us after they have dabbled a little bit themselves, whether it's now time for them to go, yeah, you know, I can see that there's room for investment in this area. So now it's time to kind of bring someone in and we'll just kind of do a bigger project and launch it properly rather than doing, you know, 10 little sporadic projects. So a lot of what we get is people coming to us who have had the same brand presence for about 10 years. Big companies who have grown over time and have multiple locations, they tend to never look at their brand because their business is, you know, growing nicely, their staff are engaged, their clients are coming through the door. They don't really see the need for investment in, you know, a new logo or an updated website. So I'm just kind of running on the current client that we have at the moment to give you an ideal example. So we then send them through a brief. So they've contacted us and they've said, look, we'd love to sit down with you and talk about refreshing our brand and what we can do to kind of become current in the marketplace again. So we'll then sit down with them. We'll give them a brief, one, for the brand and the logo, and two, for the website. And we go through that. They're about 11 pages each. It's quite a lengthy process, but it's really important because it pulls as much information from the client as possible for us to know about who they are, where their vision is, what their business looks like, what they do and they don't like. That's a very important process. From there, we then move into a bit of a concept phase. So there's a lot of back and forward and we put some ideas through and it's really quite responsive and engaging on the client's level. So we don't just go, here's two logos, pick one. We kind of push the process a little bit further and make sure that everybody is really engaged in the whole process. It's the same with the website development. Because we're onshore, we actually have developed some wireframes and get the graphic design done properly and put it in and concept the whole thing. So then they'll know what it will look like when it's finished. So once we kind of get through that, then we move into, you know, finalizing the logos and finalizing social media tiles and email templates and newsletters and all of that type of thing. And then we do a bit of a strategy session on exactly how we're going to launch it. So rather than just go, here's your website, see you later, enjoy, we sit back and we go, okay, so you've got a new website. How are you going to now leverage this investment to make sure that it's actually generating new income? So we kind of look at things like, okay, well, would you like to generate some ebooks? And, you know, what's your content going to look like? And how are you going to let people know that your website is out there? And what type of voice do you want to have on your website? What images are you going to use? And it kind of, it's very inclusive of the client and what they want to get out of it. So we really want to make sure that for the investment that the client puts into getting this new brand and website developed, is that they're actually going to have all of the tools possible to see a return on that investment.
And from what I hear, that's not often an expectation, that a website is a box that you tick mm-hmm. to look professional. Yep. But the idea that a website is the biggest, boldest sign out there and it should be earning its keep and bringing you business and potentially earning you income in a more passive, reoccurring way, that I remember when I learned that fact and it was just mind-blowing. It was such a shift and such a shock for me. And I still think that thinking is kind of bubbling to the surface with many of my clients.
I would agree.
Yeah. Do you hear that?
Yeah, there's a lot of clients of ours previously who have gone, no, that's fine. I just want a website so people can just visit it. And I was like, well, what's the point? You're not going to engage people. They're going to see a static website there that you haven't updated for the last 12 months. You know, they might think you're out of business. Or
Google will forget about it too.
That's right. So it's, you know, it's really not that difficult to keep things moving. Yes, you need a plan and, you know, I say not too difficult. Yeah, that's hilarious. But if you have a plan in place, it's not that hard.
And if you're happy to outsource the plan of maintaining it and updating it and, you know, keeping it fresh and attractive, then yeah, it can all be done. It's once you understand why you need to do it, investing that time and that sort of regular fee is just makes complete and utter sense. It's not even a think twice moment.
That's right. And especially when you can see the return on that. It's always a bit harder when you're paying for something and it's you don't see any return. And I guess that's, you know, typical of marketing. So it's very important that there's a transparency. So you know what we've done, and then we can show you the results of that campaign. And nothing's set in stone. So if something doesn't work, move on. So test it. If it doesn't work, just move
break,
on. To
break the page and build a new yeah. one is sort Find of my technical approach.
Yeah, and learn from that. It's a learning experience.
Yeah, you learn more from the marketing fails than the marketing successes as a rule.
Absolutely.
Not that you've had many of them at all.
No, never.
No, I've never. Had none of them. Yeah. None of them. What I heard before was the time it can take to get that return, and you alluded to the idea that people might be reading your content for a year, and that is the power of content marketing, and I talk about content marketing a fair bit. And I'm in the same boat. I will get a phone call saying, I've been reading your magazine for a year and there was an article in, and they'll be able to say the month, and I'm madly trawling through my, you know, dusty files in my mind, and, you know, there'll be things that they've tried or they've downloaded that app or they've set things up on certain software, blah, blah, blah. And they're kind of ready to engage with someone to take the next few steps. Yeah. And that's what I love about my work, is that I can be called into people's businesses and projects just when they know that they need me. And it's lovely that I don't have to make those decisions for me. They know that I'm there as a resource. And, you know, I go and we'll work together for X number of months and then, you know, off they fly. And yep, I know that our paths will cross sometime again. And that's what happens. Clients will find me after a year or two, yep, and back we go to the next bump. But that content marketing and the blogs and, you know, having bits and pieces reasonably strategically across quite a few social media channels will pay off. But for some clients, it'll take a year. For others, it'll take a month. So
that's right. And you just kind of have to, yeah. I was at a conference recently and I had people come up, oh, I follow you on Instagram. It's like, oh, okay, awesome. So it's like you have to be in so many different places, and they already had that connection with me walking up to the table. So they already knew who I was, knew what we did, knew everything about us. And then we were able to have that face-to-face interaction without me having to have a cold intro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they already
knew familiar. They've got a degree of familiarity, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Instagram, I think I follow you as well. I must check. That's a growing one for us, actually. We're getting more and more. And we're actually thinking we might go back and revisit Pinterest. Oh, I don't know. I might need a glass of wine to talk about Pinterest with you, Chris, next time I'm in Brizzy. I'm not sure I'm quite up for that right now. But Instagram, we're really, really enjoying. And I think it's going to become increasingly more versatile now that we can put some video in and buy things and promote and all the rest of it. So
Instagram's fun. And I mean, it's just.
It is fun. You're right. It's fun.
It doesn't seem like, it's very distracting. I will give you that. It's a bit like YouTube, where you start off watching educational video and then you end up watching an audition on The Voice, and then all of a sudden you're all the way over watching cat videos. So,
and it all happened in 7 minutes.
That's right. And 3 hours down the track, you wondered where your life went.
Yeah, so that's right. Time you'll never get back.
Things. It's amazing. It's fun. It's a great way to interact with people that you've never met or you would never have the initial opportunity to interact with.
With an unbelievable degree of casualness about it as well. And it's visual and quick. Yeah, I need to dial it up a bit, but we're enjoying what we're doing. Now, speaking of enjoying what we're doing, you are putting out, you've got an amazing workshop out and about, and it sort of segues from YouTube and Insta in that you're a bit fanatical about video marketing, fair to say?
Yeah, it's one of those things that has really gone from strength to strength. And you mentioned just earlier about video in Instagram and all of those types of things. And you use video quite often. And I think it's one of those things that if you can do it and you do it well and you can come across natural. And
yep. Like I put lipstick on and sit on my couch.
Absolutely.
There's room for progress.
That's right. People have no idea what's going on before or after that video.
No, so, probably a good thing.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much you can do and there's so much power there. And it's a little bit like TV. I mean, people only see what they see. So if you're having a really shitty day and then you have to go and do a video, if that comes across, people aren't going to engage with that. So Lee, who helps me facilitate our video workshops, she's like, it's you on your best day every single time that you step in front of that camera, whether you're sitting on your couch, whether you're sitting in your office, whether you're in a TV studio recording. When you press record, it has to be you on your very best day. You know, they're skills that don't necessarily come natural to people. It didn't come natural to me. We do a video training workshop. It's a one-day workshop. And for me to feel comfortable in offering that to people, I actually did the workshop myself first. And that was probably one of the most frightening and horrendous experiences of my life because we were in a TV studio, green screen, lighting, and there was about 15 people watching me who were actually watching my face up on a screen at the same time. So, and I was underprepared. I didn't go in with knowing what I wanted to say. It just was horrendous. So from that experience, from the very first video that I did, which I actually walked off and said, no, I need a minute to just kind of gather my thoughts and figure out exactly what I'm going to say, to then my video at the end where I was punching out 30 seconds video with no auto cue, just knew exactly what my intro was, what my three main points were, and what my outro was. Now I can walk in and just go. It's that familiarity of exactly what you're going to expect, and you have the tools and the training to be able to cope with things that get thrown at you.
Gosh, I got a really big jolt last year. I was doing a school visit to one of my little clients, and it was a year two class and a very iPad dense class. Mm-hmm. They had a green screen set up between the two year two classrooms, and they were doing maths, but they had to make videos about force. And you know what force is in maths, just moving mm-hmm. things.
Yep.
Every single child, they were all paired up. They were standing to camera. They were delivering the most sophisticated content I'd ever seen about these abstract maths concepts. They were editing. They were reshooting. They were putting text over the top. They were integrating video of the examples that they'd made. It was extraordinary. It was extraordinary. And I left feeling incredibly energized by it.
Yeah.
But as a service provider, I left thinking, okay, so that's what the next generation are going to be wanting, needing, completely committed to. And I'm perhaps in this segue generation. Well, probably several generations ahead of having to kind of shift very, very quickly to be delivering really digestible, really concise content via video. That afternoon, I think I just sat and looked at the ceiling. Yeah. It was incredible what these little dudes were doing.
It's amazing. I just had this conversation with someone last week about the next generation coming through. So the people who are currently, or the kids that are currently finishing school at the moment, they have grown up with cameras in their face. They've grown up recording and sending Snapchat videos to each other. So it's not a daunting experience for them to have a camera in their face and to speak. So they've already learnt the hardest part of being in front of a camera.
True.
Yeah, it's going to be different when they need to develop their messages and know what to say because it's not in a casual, fun, off-the-cuff moment. But it's half the battle's done. They're not going to be afraid of standing in front of a camera. They're not going to be afraid of putting their face in their marketing. They're not going to be afraid of dealing with interviews. It's just going to happen. It's not going to be a process that they need training for.
Yeah.
We need to be able to shift as service providers because in the next 10 years, these people are going to be starting their own businesses.
And potentially looking to consume the content that they're really familiar with.
Yeah.
Well, consume content in a medium that they're really familiar with.
Yeah. One of the stats that kind of sticks in my mind is that 64% of website visitors are more likely to buy a product after watching a video.
I know.
So
isn't that
huge.
Oh, gosh. itching for the lipstick.
Yeah.
Got to do ready. It.
Get
Gotta do
it. Ready. Just punch out 5 videos this afternoon.
Chris, no pressure. Well, okay. Okay, maybe that's a challenge I should take. This afternoon's not looking good, but well, maybe tomorrow. So, okay. Okay, let's unpack this. I need to be doing more of this. What is the best way to start? I don't want to go and spend $1,000. I don't want to have to wait for boxes of tripods and things to be delivered. What have I got in my house that can get those 5 videos done? So the tech piece is one bit. I realize the content as well. Talk me through that really quickly. Motivate me.
The tech stuff is pretty much in every household already across Australia. So anyone with a laptop that has a camera has the ability to record video. You can even do it on your iPhone. I don't recommend that, but you could do it on your
computer.
So I think there's other free tools out there as well that actually turn your screen into an auto cue if you struggle.
Yes.
So there's some people who will struggle with speaking off the cuff and other people who will just need auto cue just as a bit of a mental reassurance that they're actually going to be able to get through their video. All you need is pretty much a program like Zoom to record a video. Zoom. Audio is important, so make sure that you're in a room that's, one, not messy, two, that, you know,
looks... Check your background.
Check your background,
check
everyone.
Your background.
It's relatively
no mirrors,
simple.
Thank you.
Yeah, no mirrors, no kind of things laying around, just a nice, clean environment. No one cares what's on the other side of the screen, so just move everything, and then just whatever is on the screen, just make sure that looks really nice and beautiful. So you've got everything you possibly need. And just make sure it's in a nice, quiet environment that you feel comfortable in and just relax. Just be relaxed.
And the mental piece is about doing some prep beforehand, whether it's on a post-it note, whether you use auto cue, about why you're doing the message, what you're actually messaging. I love the 3-dot points. I do something kind of similar.
Yep.
And to have a couple of rehearsals, and I've done some rehearsals on the recording app on my phone just to kind of hear it. It just helps me to hear it.
Yeah.
And then I can adjust and all the rest of it. And even with something like Zoom, you know, when I was recording the intro and outro for the podcast, don't think for a moment that happened in one take. I think there was about 5 for the intro and about 9 for the outro. But just hearing it back, you adjust. And so then when you are ready to go live and record it, it's the casualness will drop into your voice because you've got the content sort of bedded down to the right amount.
Absolutely. I mean, recently I recorded a webinar for a company, and if anyone thinks that I got that in one take, that is hilarious, because I kept changing my mind. So I hadn't, I recorded.
Where was Amanda?
Yeah, that's right. See, I was by myself. I was out of control. So I recorded about 11 intros. I did my content, and then I recorded about 11 exits. So I'm sitting there editing which ones that I want, because I'm a crazy perfectionist. So that's part of my downfall, is I kind of need to be more casual and just kind of let things flow and just...
Prolific beats perfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What I'm cautious about is that we're saying how many takes it takes us to do this, and I don't want to put anybody who's listening off in the process, because what I've also found is the more that you do it, the quicker you get. And it's not so much confidence with the technology, it's the mental process. You get quicker at the mental process of understanding why you're videoing, getting really succinct with your words, and you just breathe more effectively rather than breathing through your ears. You can sort of drop it. So the more you do it, the less takes and everything, and the more comfortable you get with the ums and ahs and pauses and the imperfections, which for my line of thinking, I think are really important. I'm not a fan of super duper highly polished productions.
No, that's part of the whole process of learning how to speak on camera. You can take that into any scenario. So now, before I go into anything, I know what my intro is. I know 3 key points that I want to get across. And if I lose my way, I know what my outro is. I know how to wrap it up. So that's one of the biggest things. So now if I'm to record a webinar, I know what I'm going to say at the beginning. I know my content. I know what I'm going to say at the end. So because I've been doing it over and over and over again and using a lot of the tips given to me by the professionals that run some of our workshops, it's made me relax into the whole process. It's not a daunting thing anymore.
Off the top of your head, what's 3 or 4 topics that allied health professionals could prep and post video content about?
A lot of, so some, okay, I'll give you four. I won't go off on a tangent. So I think.
The risk of us being here all day. just saying.
Let people know a little bit about who you are on a personal level. So
good one.
Don't just talk about your services all the time. Talk about who you are. Don't give them everything because they don't
know. That would scare them.
You don't want to know everything. Give them the good bits. So just say, who you are, what you've done, where you've come from, what you're passionate about, what you love in life, and just kind of come down to a personal level and then try and talk about some of the things that you can do and things that you have done. It's a little bit tricky in allied health sometimes talking about things that we have done and outcomes of that. There's some fine lines that we need to kind of be a little bit careful with when it comes to marketing. So, if you talk about more of a clinical thing, so talk about some problems and educational videos.
Is that number two? So the first one is a little bit of profile and getting the right amount of kind of personal. And then the next one is educational.
Yeah. Cool. So line up a client. Everybody will have a client who will put their hand up immediately to be in a demo video. Everybody will have that person. So, if you're a physio, get them on the floor and get them to demonstrate, and you talk them through a new way of movement or a bit of a testing or a stretch or a bit of a new technique that you've learnt. Talk them through that and talk them about what the benefits are and what you're actually doing. Because that way, if someone then consumes that video, they'll go, I might have that. I might have that problem. Maybe that could help me.
That's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that. That's a goodie. Any more gems?
Number three. Let's go for number three. I think it's very important to talk about your team as well. So, you might be working by yourself. So kind of talk about yourself at a professional level, because you are going to have those people who go, okay, are you qualified to help me? Yes, this person, loves jet skiing on the weekend, but are they actually qualified to help me, and what have they learnt? So commenting on industry articles is a great way to get that across. So, all of your industry bodies will be putting out content of new research, new ways of doing things, new kind of guidelines, new best practice. So use that content and write your own little blurb at the beginning of that and kind of give people a snapshot of your understanding of the current new issue or research.
That's a really doable one, because that's often a default pitch that we go to.
Yep.
And it's very updatable as well, to sort of share about what you might have done recently or what you noticed at a conference or what have you. Yeah.
Yeah. And just break it down into a very simple language as well. So as a potential client, they're probably not going to be reading through industry articles, because they're not going to understand all the terminology. They're not going to understand kind of the processes behind it. So if you kind of break that down and make it as simple as possible for them, it's going to be easier for them to digest that information.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Have you got one last gem?
And the last one is kind of that live stuff. So what's happening in your day? So coming back to that whole personal touch. So taking a photo of you with a client in your clinic, or taking a photo of a new tool that you have in your clinic that might be able to help with XYZ. Just kind of showing people what it's like to have the experience in your business.
And some of the information in that last one could have a lightness of touch and some humor in it.
Yeah.
Virtually all of my clients work with children and families, and it's riotous. You will be laughing out loud several times across your day, and to capture some of those moments with all the consents, with all the permissions, blah, 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 is real. That's what happens.
That's what it's
laugh
like.
All day.
So, it's trying to capture that essence of what it's actually like to be a part of your business.
I like those tips. They're great. Thank you. I will try and really highlight them in the show notes. The other thing I really quickly want to touch on, because I'm just mindful of the time and whether anyone is still listening, I'm sure they're hanging on desperately. Run me through the video workshop. I know we've spoken about it. I can't even remember. Is it one day? Is it 2 days? What's that video workshop about? Because it's particularly geared for allied health professionals, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do, it's a one-day workshop. And what we do is it's in a group environment. So you're not the only person going through this experience. It's something that I was mindful of when we started to launch it. is that not everybody is going to engage one-on-one. So this way, it's more of a supportive environment and everybody is going through the same process at the same time. So everybody comes in with the same tools and, you know, we send some documents before the workshop. So everybody has their key messages semi-developed and outlined. And what we do is the first part of the workshop is we throw you up in front of the camera before kind of looking at your key messages. And the first,
in a loving, supportive way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we give you all the tips first. So the first session is with a lady called Lee Muirhead, and she has been on all the morning shows and does radio and voiceover work and MCs and things like that. So she lives her life in front of the camera and in front of people. So it's invaluable for us to have her insight on what she does and how she makes it through all of her presentations. That's the first part of what we run through on the day. We talk about your timings and deliveries and that mental approach. So that's having your intro 3 points and an outro so that if you ever get stuck, you know exactly where you are in your head. And then we all work together and we sit down and we kind of encourage each other. If someone is really struggling, then everyone's like, no, you look great and do this and try this. And yes, that was beautiful. And you spoke really well then. Congratulations. And it's this really kind of empowering environment that gets created. After that, we kind of look at the scripting and the actual messaging that gets put out. So at this point, we've gone through the whole experience of everyone's first time in front of the camera with the lights and the camera and the green screen and everything. Now it's time to actually think about what you would like to say at a business level. And more of an educational, this is what I do, this is who I help, do you have this problem, you're not alone, that type of a scenario. And then we start working with the auto cue, which is really fun, to be able to have something in front of you that you can then focus on smiling, you can focus on relaxing a little bit more, you don't have to be so stressed and in your head about, oh God, what am I going to say next? That type of thing. So that's a pretty brief overview of what we do. That goes all day. We have a lovely lunch together.
Good. So it's a food event with some video coaching.
Oh, there's food. Yeah. We're all there for the food and we do a little bit of video as
that's
well.
That's it. That's my sort of day. Yep.
Yeah. And then look, at the end, we kind of go through about, okay, well, now you've got your video. What's next? What can I do with it? So we kind of talk about, you know, chopping up your video and using sections of the video for different pieces of content and breaking it down over all of your different channels to making sure that you get... Absolutely. And we then send the videos off for editing. So that's all kind of included. We do the subtitles on the video because most people don't watch video on Facebook with sound. So it's very important to have the subtitles and just a few key little screen grabs along the way. It's all edited up and packaged nicely and delivered back to you, ready for use. So
wow,
it's awesome. It's awesome.
Sounds amazing, amazing. So will I find the details on your website when I pull the show notes together?
Yep. It's all there, and there's a link just on the homepage to all the info. We are about to announce some new dates, and there's always new dates happening. So yeah, just keep checking in.
And in all the capital cities?
Yep.
East Coast, yeah.
Yep. East Coast capital cities, where we have a studio in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. We're looking for the perfect location in Adelaide and Perth.
Okay.
So once we kind of nail that down, just kind of, you know, keep watching our different channels and we'll announce all of that once we have locked that in.
Well done. Well done. Sounds amazing. I think we need to kind of pull all of this to a close. How about I give the talking stick to you for the last word, potentially, just a shout out about your website and what's on there and all the social media platforms. So just bend everybody's ears for the last time about where they can find you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, our website is alliedhealthmarketing.com.au, and on there we have a section called our marketing blog, and that's where we post all of our content. So if you want to know anything about video marketing, all the stats that you need to know, anything about content writing, SEO, email marketing is huge, and we didn't even actually even get to talk about that today. That's something that, you know, especially moving forward with some changes that are happening in the industry, engaging and maintaining your relationships with your current clients is going to be more important than ever. So there's heaps of information in our blog about different content strategies and what's the best time to send and how to use Instagram stories. And I mean, that content now is changing all the time. So we have to keep revisiting a lot of this stuff. And another, some of the cool stuff we have on there is like where you can find free stock images. So, you know, paying for images is a bit of a sore point for people. There are some really dodgy ones, and I highly recommend against using some of the dodgy ones, but there's some really good stock photo websites out there that you can download for royalty free. Yeah, look, there's so much information on our website. You could get lost if you really want to learn more about marketing and what you can do in your practice. So, yeah, Instagram, same, Allied Health Marketing, Facebook, Allied Health Marketing, LinkedIn. We do have like a LinkedIn business group that we've just started. So for people who are wanting to get direct access to our content, because sometimes when you're following people on social media, it does tend to get a bit lost. So we have set up these direct groups that you can join into where the content and conversations happen about allied health marketing and what's kind of happening in the industry. So you can find all of those links on our website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I've just scribbled on I've got a whole page of scribble and note and diagrams, and I've got a little note down the bottom saying we should speak again about the email marketing, because yes, that really matches what I'm reading about as well. And given the NDIS and all of that big piece rolling out, to stay in touch and to completely love up your current clients and your current partners and referrers, I think the email's got a really huge role there. So let's slate that down for recording perhaps in a little while. Thank you. Have a great day. We've got sunshine here in Melbourne. I'm sure Brisbane is just doused in that as well. So,
I'm going to crush your dreams on that one. It's actually pouring down rain.
Oh, just shocking to hear that. I'm just looking at blue sky and autumn trees. The trees down here change their colours, so, you know, it's exciting.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Have a great one. Thank you. Thanks, Kathy, so much. And, yeah, we'll be in touch. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. A big thank you for investing your time right through the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. We hope you really enjoyed the conversation. There's lots more just like it waiting for your listening ears. If you're running a private practice and keen for some more business know-how and confidence, head on over to my website, nakerconsulting.com.au. There you'll find business resources and inspiration. There's blogs, forms, templates. There's information about our conferences, workshops, web events, and more. While you're there, you're warmly invited to book yourself in for a free 30-minute coaching session. Let's find some solutions to your current business challenges. And yes, you are more than welcome to pick my brains. My business has a weird name, but it has a cool story. You can read about that when you're on the website. But let me spell it for you now. nacre.com.au. Thank you for listening to Private Practice Secrets. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.